Father, we come again to your holy scriptures this morning, and we know that as we come to listen, God, to your word, these are not just times of enlightenment, but God, as soon as your word is being read, as soon as your word is being preached, you do something in our lives. The prophet Isaiah promised that the word of God never returns to God void and unaccomplished, but will accomplish the things that God you have set out to do. So God, we know that you love us and you want to do things in our lives. So God, I pray that you, at this moment, you will quiet our souls, take away sleep and sloth from our lives, and help us to concentrate on what your Spirit has to say to us, and give us hearts that are willing to respond, willing to listen, challenge, and willing to be corrected for your glory and for your sake. In his name we pray. Amen. There is a very popular video that if you can search YouTube, it's called Better Battle at Krugel. It's a video that shows about how four huge lions began surrounding a little baby, Cape Buffalo. So these four lions were surrounding as a wall around this baby Cape Buffalo, and they were out to pounce at this buffalo. And the buffalo was of no match to these lions. All it could do is stand there, standing still. And then these lions were howling, were grounding at this calf and ready to eat and devour this little calf. And this little calf was just shivering in helplessly without retaliating. But very soon, something happened, and it is at least 100 cave buffaloes came to the rescue, and they became to form another wall around the lions, the four lions, and they begin to surround and make noises at these lions. And then these bulls will then charge at the lions, and they will take one of the lions and then throw the lion away as far as it could. And the lions thought that these bulls could be bullied and started to attack this little baby calf. And as soon as it started to attack the baby calf, all the buffaloes together growled at the lions and began to throw each of the lions away. And the lions, frightened, began to run as fast as they could. One animal expert says that the Cape Buffalo usually walks alone. But when one of them, especially the young, is being attacked, the whole school of buffaloes would come to their rescue. In many ways, this little video reminds us of our Christian life. God doesn't want us to fight Satan and our spiritual battles alone. And we cannot fight our battles alone. Because if we fight our battles alone, we'll be like that baby calf standing helplessly as Satan tears us apart. And God, that's why, calls the church. Though as individuals we could be weak, but together, like these buffaloes, together when they formed a wall around the lions, became a force to be reckoned with. And I think this is why Paul ends the book of Colossians with these words. These words are words, actually, but Paul sends greetings from various supporters of the church and to the Colossians. Many pastors would have skipped verses 10 to 18 of chapter 4 in Colossians. When I was talking to my brother while I was preaching, he says, for if he were preaching Colossians, he would have skipped the entire chapter, because they're just names of Paul and that Paul listed that would be praying for the Colossian church. But I believe strongly in the words of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, which says that all scripture is God-breathed and useful. So even these verses in Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 to 18, is useful and God-breathed. So how is this passage useful to us? Why does Paul end the book of Colossians by listing down names of people that were praying and helping the church? Because Paul is driving home one crucial lesson, and that is that we do not fight our battles by ourselves. So Paul here is telling the Colossians, you are not fighting. You, when you are doing church, when you're standing together, you are not doing it alone. There are people who are praying for you. There are people who are fighting for you. You need to understand that the book of Colossians was written to the church in Colossae. And the church in Colossae is by no means the same as our churches today. Because when we think about churches, we think about churches with huge buildings like us. We think about microphones on the podium. We think about pulpit stands and piano and drums and guitars and high-tech equipment that we have. But most likely, in the New Testament times, they were just meeting in homes. Philemon chapter, it's only one chapter. Philemon verse 2 tells us that the book of that the Colossian church met in the home of a man called Philemon. So they were mostly a very home church. And Colossae was mostly a slave city. Because out of all of Paul's 13 letters, Paul spends the most time in Colossians, as we've looked at earlier, addressing slaves. Because Colossae was an industrial town. It was a very poor town that made woolen clothes. So there were many slaves and factory workers, most likely in Colossae. And the church was not very new at this time when Paul was writing. My guess is it was a very small church, maybe less than 50, we don't know. They were perhaps financially poor, many of them were slaves, many of them were pretty uneducated, and the church was new. And it's very easy for a church like that to say, let's give up, let's throw in the towel. Furthermore, this is a church of slaves. What happens if their masters don't give them a day off? It is very easy in our churches today to feel that way too. We get easily discouraged because people have different excuses. The slight sniff will say, oh, I'm so sick, I don't want to come to church. And Paul knows that this church can be easily discouraged. This is why Paul ends the book of Colossians with these verses that tell them that you are not alone, that there are people surrounding you. And Paul tells us why. Why we need each other. I want to list down four reasons of this passage of why we cannot fight our battles by ourselves. We need each other and people around us. Number one, we need each other because we are in a spiritual warfare. Until Jesus comes back, we are in a spiritual warfare and we can't fight alone. You cannot be plucked out of a fellowship because we will be like the little buffalo by itself, vulnerable to Satan and his attacks. This is why Paul begins verse 10 of chapter 4 in Colossians, if you have a Bible, this way. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes, welcomed him. Paul calls Aristarchus my fellow prisoner, or in the literally from the Greek, my prisoner of war. Paul doesn't say that Aristarchus, who is supporting the church, is not just a fellow believer. He is your fellow prisoner of war. He is somebody fighting for you. And then in verse 12, he says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ, sends his greeting. He's always wrestling. The word that Paul uses here is one of battle. One who wrestles with you in prayer that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. We need each other because we are constantly in a spiritual warfare. There are always people in our lives to discourage us from following Christ. That is why we need each other as a church. That's why you need to come to church. That's why it is important to have fellowship groups like our women's group, like our Wednesday night groups, because that's where we know that we are not fighting alone, that you have fellow prisoners of war fighting with you and with us. Because living by yourself, if you just say, I'm a Christian, I'm just live by myself, it's very dangerous. It's just like walking beside a swimming pool and you see people all in the pool and you're trying to save them. Would it be easier for you to pull them out or for them to drag you in? Obviously, it's easier for them to drag you in and fall into the pool. That's why we need each other in terms of how we live as Christians. A church member once approached the Victorian preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon and said, "Over the years, my love for Jesus has grown cold. I don't feel Jesus anymore. What can I do?" The man asked.